Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
We live the dream, and we're in Chicago, so we're wondering, as we look at quarterback play around the NFL, there's a guy who used to be here who's 3-0. That's okay. We got the new superstar generational talent. Wait, there's another guy who did pretty well last night, kind of put together an historical performance. Did the Bears go for the Bryce Young pick instead of the C.J. Stroud? And ha-ha, it's a joke. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's time to declare that Jaden Daniels is going to be better than Caleb Williams. But the reality is, in any other year, Daniels would have been the number one overall pick. And when we were at the scouting combine interviewing players, when we talked to defensive players who were in the SEC and they were asked the question, who's the best opponent you ever faced? No hesitation, Jaden Daniels. So we saw last night what he can do, and they're working him toward his ceiling. They're working him toward the point where the game slows down. They trusted him with the game on the line. 3rd and 7, 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. Didn't play it safe to take a field goal that would have put them up by 8 points. Threw it to the end zone for the dagger. Incredible throw. Got blown up. And my only concern about Jaden Daniels, and this harkens back to Robert Griffin III 12 years ago, you run a lot, you get hit a lot. Every time you get hit, there's a chance that something's going to snap. And I would be losing sleep about that possibility if I was a Commanders fan.
So, Mike, you know how it works in the NFL. 3 straight losses and everything changes for everybody. The Bears are one bad loss at home against a Rams team that's really injured and compromised, but coming off a big victory. They're one loss away from being in a 3-game losing streak and having everything be doubted about everybody. How hot will the seat get for Matt Eberflus if the Bears lose their 3rd in a row Sunday?
I began compiling last night a Bill Belichick watch list. And I'm accepting recommendations and nominations and applications for the teams to be on it. And right now, my list consists of the Jaguars, the Bengals, although they're too cheap to pay him, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Bears. I don't know that he'd want to go to Chicago. I don't know that the fans would want him. I don't know that ownership would want him. But if quarterback play is one key ingredient, the presence of Caleb Williams would presumably attract him. So this is the reality. When the expectations are high, and they got out of control for the Bears, when they're high, and that's how you're always judged. You know, coach of the year is the guy who does the most relative to the low preseason expectations. And the guys who get fired are the ones who do the least relative to high preseason expectations. And the expectations were too high for the Bears. So if they struggle, if they end up in the basement of the division, and given the way the Vikings are playing, who on paper look to be destined for 4th place in the NFC North, that's the kind of thing that can get somebody fired, especially once ownership and executives start to put together in their own mind the guy they want to go out and hire to replace the current coach.
So we've been talking about our division here in Chicago, the NFC North, and we're trying to figure out who's the better coach of the year candidate. Is it Kevin O'Connell for what's going on in Minnesota, or is it the Flower for what's going on in Green Bay, winning without a quarterback?
Well, Matt LaFleur never has gotten serious consideration to be coach of the year, even though he could have won it 2 or 3 times. And think about the calming influence he brought about, working with the delicate genius of Aaron Rodgers, getting the most out of that team. I think I put him on the ballot last year when they made it to the playoffs. I may have put him on the ballot the year before, but Jordan Love is probably going to be back in the next 3 weeks. We didn't originally report it. Week 4, week 5, week 6 is when he'll come back from that ACL sprain. But to get the most out of Malik Willis, a guy that the Titans gave up on him, in hindsight, maybe he should have gotten more of a chance to become the starter there. Yeah, it's impressive. But the expectations were higher overall for the Packers. It gets back to my point from earlier. The Vikings were expected to be the worst team in the division. If they keep doing what they've done so far this year, and it's incredible to see, offensively and defensively, arguably the best two right now, play designers, play callers, offensive and defensive, in Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores, then that sets O'Connell up to be the coach of the year.
Mike, speaking of number one overall draft picks, what the heck happened to Trevor Lawrence?
This is a fascinating wrinkle. And I'll tell you how it happened, because when we do our show every morning, we have a rough outline of what we're going to do. And then we just kind of let the spirit move us. And I got an email last night from a former offensive coordinator, who I must keep nameless, on Lawrence. And I'm going to paraphrase it. He does not play the game with a passion. When he was first drafted by the Jaguars, he did mention that football was not his priority in life. And despite that generous and undeserved second contract, he definitely plays like football is not a priority. Now, that's a reference to comments that were made by Trevor Lawrence to Sports Illustrated right before the draft, where he said, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I don't try to prove people wrong. I don't think that's healthy. And then there were some other comments by his dad. He could walk away right now and be fine. And it created a little bit of a dust storm at the time. Mm-hmm. Didn't change Jacksonville's desire in making him the number one overall pick. But when you see where he is right now, where the team is right now, and, you know, he's kind of chill last night after the game. They got their asses kicked. They got embarrassed on national TV, 47-10. You want to see something that has him driven and motivated and determined and capable to turn this around. They got short week, come home from Buffalo after mechanical issues delayed their flight until after 1 a.m. Got to turn it around and go to Houston this weekend against the Texans team that just got its ass kicked by the Vikings and will be extra motivated to win. I think people are going to want to see the fire from Trevor Lawrence. They want to see him earn that $55 million a year. Last night was horrible. The quarterback isn't the one who gets fired because of it, though. It's the coach. And when the owner came out, as Shad Khan did, and said before the season, this is the best team the Jaguars have ever put together, and the expectation is to win now, I think by next Tuesday, when we do this, we could be having a conversation about Doug Peterson getting fired by the Jaguars the day before.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio.
Good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really would be a strong move, but they are really struggling in Jacksonville. And you hear Doug Peterson, and he sounds like a beaten man.